Good morning. We're going to start our worship service in a few minutes, so I invite you to sit and in quiet reflection for a few minutes while we listen to some music, and then we'll begin.
Good morning. Happy Easter. My name is Patty Colombo, and I'm a member of the Board of Trustees. It's great to see everyone here this morning. We welcome all, regardless of age, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, religious background, or political affiliations, factors that can separate people in the larger culture. If this is your first time visiting, welcome. Please join us after the service for refreshments, and there are brochures in the entranceway in the back on your way out if you'd like to pick up some brochures. We also have a guest book you can sign, and this can also get you on our newsletter list if you'd like to receive our newsletter. We are being lay-led currently, so our services are different from week to week. We have guest ministers and members of our congregation, so we do encourage you to come back on several occasions as we have a variety of services going on at this time. Now is the time to turn off cell phones. Now, last week we heard a few closures. We do have Sunday school program this morning. The children will be in for a little while this morning, and they will be coming back towards the end of the service. And we do have nursery care for children 3 and under. So I know that these services are available for you. And since people will be going in and out of the room this morning, we ask that all of you enter and exit as quietly so that we can keep a quiet time of reflection inside these walls. We have a couple of other announcements. Unfortunately, we don't have an order of service. I don't usually take announcements from the floor, but if anybody has anything that's going on this week that they want people to know about, raise your hand. No? There is a pledge table in the back. Pat Compton, I believe, is manning Pat the pledge table today. Carol and Jack are in charge of the service auction. Raise your hand if anybody has questions about the service auction, which the deadline is coming up when? Okay, so it makes their job easier if you can start getting your service items into them. And if you have questions, you don't know what the service auction is, please talk to Carol and Jack after the service. And as I said, there will be a program for the children, and they will be dismissed later on. And after, Rebecca's cueing me, afterward there is an egg hunt after the service. So is that only for the kids, or can the adults participate as well?
Yeah.
Everyone. Okay. And I also have Rick to come in up to make an announcement as well.
Today, as you may know, it's the last day of our annual pledge drive. They say you'll never succeed at a fund drive unless you can show people what they'll be getting for their money. Just telling them that we need to heat the building or pay the bills is not enough. You have to show them that things will be better if they find it in their hearts to give until it feels good. This year, we've got a doozy. If we can just pull enough money together, we can have a really fine minister in this place next fall. A good minister raises our spirits, brings in the crowds, and makes it a whole lot easier to have a dynamite pledge drive next year. And I'm not looking for a savior, even if this is Easter Sunday. Look, it's happened before. We've had good ministers here in the pulpit before, and we've packed people in, and we'll do it again. Good ministers are not that hard to find. This is what the canvas is about this year. This is what you get for your money. A thoughtful, caring person whose sole job is to make this community work. A preacher, sure, good sermons on Sunday morning, and a teacher too, maybe. But more than that, a full-time cheerleader for the best that we have in ourselves. Because in our hearts, we are and will always be fundamentally a lay-led society. That's what I'm looking for. That's why I support this place. That's why I want you to support it with me. I would not be overstating it to say this is probably the most important pledge drive we've had in the last 10 years. We've had a lot of meetings and discussions over the last 6 months, but here is where it really gets decided. Here is where your vote really counts. So if you haven't voted yet, please do so. And if you've already voted and you're not sure your vote was strong enough, it's not too late. Thank you.
Hello again. Oops, should have taken a sip of water. I'm Donna Moriarty. I'm a member of the Worship Committee. And it is my pleasure to introduce our guest minister to you this morning. Reverend Mary Tebow has been to our congregation before. She grew up in Hastings-on-Hudson, went to college and lived for many years in Vermont, returning to the Flatlands in 1984 to attend Princeton Theological Seminary. That'll do it to you. Mary currently serves as assistant minister at the Unitarian Church of Montclair. And during fall season, which is now, she volunteers as a nurse assistant in the neonatal ICU for horses. Mary lives with her family in an old schoolhouse in Pipersville, Pennsylvania. And so before I bring her up here, I just want to say that there are a few things that are different and unusual in our service today. So pay attention and enjoy. Mary Tebow. Where'd she go? There you are.
It's wonderful to be here, and it's wonderful that it's not raining. The Council of Nicaea in the year 325 of the Common Era determined that Easter would be celebrated on the first Sunday after the full moon on or next after March 21st, the vernal equinox, one or 1 week later if the full moon falls on Sunday. The moon shines brilliantly in the sun's light, and then it passes through the earth's shadow, from darkness to light, from death to rebirth, brokenness to wholeness. We know that shadows move away. We know that eventually even the clouds move away. And that day, perhaps today or another day, we discover that where we are is a holy place, and we find that in us is a holy place, an ancient, holy city of peace, bathed in light, a Jerusalem. On this Easter morning, we come to be in this place together to celebrate the liberation of our love, the resurrection of our hope, and the brilliance and resilience of the human spirit. Christine Dawn from the Coming of Age group will come up now and light the chalice and lead us in the unison affirmation.
May the light of this flame illuminate our lives and strivings of the Spirit. May it heal this understanding and strengthen love.
Love is the doctrine of this fellowship.
The quest for truth is its sacrament, and the service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to see truth in love, to serve humanity in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow into harmony, thus to be covenant with one another.
Which is infinite, which is yes.
I who have died am alive again
For us to greet each other this lovely Sunday morning. So we'll rise and we'll turn to the people on either side of us, front, back, sideways, and say hello.
That was beautiful. Thank you. I wanted to say hello to the children before they went out to their activities. So I'm looking around. The children in here, could you just wave just so I can see where you're hiding? There's another one, and there's another one. All right, and there's some more back there. That's great. I was sitting here listening to the prelude, remembering when I was probably about 7 years old. I was at church on Easter Sunday, and what I remembered most about it was that the assistant minister talked to the children, and he had an Easter basket, and he talked about the grass in the Easter basket, and that it was this time of year when the grass turns green again and the earth comes back to life again. And I think I remembered that because it was just very tangible and real to me. So I just wanted to say to the children before you go that today Easter for Unitarian Universalists is about two things, I think, maybe more, but I think about it in two ways. The first was that there was a community of people about 2,000 years ago who were very, very sad because the person who they loved and followed and adored died. And in the days following his death, which was an incredible tragedy to them, and they were very, very heartbroken, and their spirits really were broken. It changed from sadness to remembering what he had taught them, and they started to feel the incredible love that they had felt when they were together with him, and the energy and excitement and a different way of being together, and it started coming back. And this is what we celebrate, or this is what I celebrate on Easter, is the return of the teachings and the human spirit of an incredible person named Jesus, whose teachings are still here for us to learn today. That's one of the things that I think about on this day. And then the other is about the grass and about how things are pushing their way out of the earth. And every day now you will be seeing changes in, you know, you will see the snow melt a little bit more and you will see things coming out of the earth. And this is such a celebration. And then you will see almost this incredible applause of forsythia, that bright yellow stuff that just shows up, and then you'll see the daffodils. And this is a celebration of all that new life that's jumping back up again against all odds, against a long, cold winter, and it happens again and again, and that's a wonderful thing to celebrate. So we have those two things that lift our spirits. It's a day of joy and triumph. And now we are going to sing our parting song to you, and I don't know which song that is, but I'll follow along and others will too. And we'll see you in a little while.
This is the time in our service that we share the burdens and the joys of what we may be going through in our lives. If you'd like to share a joy or a sorrow, please come up and speak into the microphone, and we'll share it with you, and you can light a candle too.
Good morning and happy Easter to those that celebrate Easter. For those that don't, happy Sunday. We're Unitarians, anything goes. This is a candle of joy. I have a lot of joy in my life this spring. Candle of joy, first of all, for my nephew Joseph, who will be celebrating his bar mitzvah next Saturday. We have a very big family event going on next weekend. I have never been to a bar mitzvah, so I'm looking forward to celebrating one. And 2 weeks from today, you won't see me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, I will be in Boston with the Coming of Age group. We are doing our pilgrimage to Boston, and I have a lot of happiness in my heart about that. I've been neurotically cross-indexing the Freedom Trail with all the famous Unitarians, so hopefully I'll be a good tour guide. So say a little prayer for me 2 weeks from today. Myself and some of the other parents that are going, we're going to need all the strength we can muster, so thank you.
I'm Michael Jacoby, and I would also like to say that I really love Unitarian Universalism around Easter time when all the children go out and paint matzo balls and then hide them around. And I'm actually, this is also a candle of all kinds of things. This is basically a candle of fair warning that next week's service is going to be a little different. Things may be slightly reworded, and I encourage everybody to bring their kids because there will be a great kids story that a lot of people have gone to a certain amount of trouble to put together, and if it works, it's going to be fun. And then we'll get them out of here. So next week is April Fool's for us.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Beverly Bilardi. This is a multifaceted candle. It's a candle of joy because our friend Jackie is visiting with us today. She's in the back. And a candle of concern for my father-in-law who's in the hospital, but we're thinking it's minor and it'll stay minor, hopefully, after all the test results come in. Thanks.
Well, it doesn't really matter. It's sorrow, I suppose. That's the important thing, not the candle. This is a candle of sorrow for my mother who died last night. And the last 7 years were not particularly good ones for her because she never got over my father's death, which was 7 years ago. They had been married 65 years. And it was very difficult for her. I and certainly my family will remember the times before my father died, and we all miss her.
This is, I'm Marshall Shore. This is a candle of something for my younger brother who apparently, they're not sure, but he seems to have suffered a heart attack, but is fine. They only can tell by looking at some enzyme traces. There's nothing showing on anything other than that. But he's taking the next couple of weeks off and is going to be doing seeing a cardiologist and figuring out what to do about it.
Good morning. I'm Patricia Compton, and I don't see Kathy Gallagher here, and I don't see Ann Jaffe here.
So I will light the candle that we have been lighting every week for us as we go through this process of finding ourselves again, a wonderful minister. And I will add to it that today is the last day, as Rick said, to pledge. Please don't make us hunt you down. I'll be in the back. We have busy lives. It's tough to make those phone calls. If you're here today and you haven't pledged, please come to the table. And if you've already pledged, I thought Rick might say earlier that, you know, you, in a sense, you vote with your pledge. And if you've already voted, this is your chance to vote again. It's the only place that you get to vote twice. If I can work this. Well, I'm lighting a candle because I haven't lit a candle in ages, and it looks like it might be fun to come up here and light a candle, so but actually I have something very important to light it for, and that is this wonderful, I think I've burned this twice. The wonderful course that we have been offered by Graham, and it's The Artist's Way, and there are 12 or so people in it on Monday night. And I must say it's one of the nicest things that I have ever done, and it's inspiring, and it kind of changes your day, every single day, and your whole spirit and life force, and all you have to do is some somewhat simple things. Writing every morning, which is like unbelievable. You would never think. And then there's some other things that are really hard for us to do, and that is be nice to ourselves for 2 hours every week. So we're really struggling with that. Believe it or not, that's just almost impossible to do. So maybe by 12 weeks we'll be able to do it. And people, you know, after the third week were already moaning and groaning that that course was going to end. They're, you know, grieving already. So you can tell there it's a great experience and wonderful thing. So we're blessed to have had him offer that. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Meredith, and today I'm lighting a candle of joy for my dog, Dune.
My name is Patty Colombo. I'm going to light this candle for Nicholas, who is my 11-year-old son who's in the Sunday school classroom. Those of you who know Nicholas, you know that his number one sport is basketball. And there's a local AAU basketball league, the Westchester Hawks, which is based out of Brewster, which most people in this area know about. It's a very competitive league, and he had tryouts last Sunday, and out of 150 kids, he was chosen as the top 12 to go into an elite team, and this is something that has been his goal. His passion is basketball, and he hopes to have a career someday in basketball, so this has been great news in our family, and he has 9 tournaments over the next 3 months. However, he does not have a tournament on Frost Valley weekend. We have always made a commitment to go to Frost Valley, no matter what is on his schedule. And Luckily, he doesn't have a tournament on Frost Valley weekend, so he doesn't have that conflict. So we can actually be at Frost Valley not worrying about him missing something and not being someplace else. And if you don't know what Frost Valley is, I'd be glad to talk to you after the service about Frost Valley. We still do have cabins and beds available for this retreat that we have up in the Catskill Mountains.
Okay, looks like we might be at the end. So I'm going to light a candle for myself. My daughter Amanda is here. My son Ethan is here visiting from college. I admit it's a bit of a hostage situation, but nonetheless, they're here. And our son Zach will be joining us a little later as we all go up to Connecticut to have an Easter celebration with my family. And all the cousins are there. This is like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Since they all got like taller than us, this hasn't happened, so I'm really happy about that. And I will light a final candle for all of the joys and sorrows spoken and in our hearts as we go into our week.
Our responsive reading is number 534. Some of you might remember Barbara Peskin, who was a minister in this district, and these are her words. Gloria.
The tenacity of earth and its creatures.
Kyrie eleison.
These children who will go on to save what we cannot.
Baruch Atah Adonai.
The ordinary tenacity of plants and of people.
Om.
The center of the universe is everywhere, not the least place in the human heart.
Alleluia.
Love has surprised anger and hatred and despair and sorrow and even death.
Shalom.
Love that persists.
Nam Myoho Renge Kyo.
Calm as the sea in the dark.
Amen.
For endings that are beginnings, for beginnings that are endings.
Alleluia.
For the circle, the spiral, the web, the egg, the orbit, the center, the seed, the flower, the fruit, the opening, the death, the release, the seed.
Amen.
We are going on.
Amen. Amen. One of the traditions at the Unitarian Church of Montclair, which I discovered when I got there 3 years ago, is that at the offering time, they tell a joke. So whenever I'm a guest minister someplace, and I think I've probably done this before, I've thought, oh, well, then I don't have anything, I don't remember anything. Certainly none of the Easter jokes that I know are appropriate. I thought maybe I would tell you just a little story about Tallulah Bankhead. Who I didn't know was the granddaughter of a U.S. senator, the daughter of the Speaker of the House. She liked her cocktails and found herself on Christmas Eve in the front row on the aisle at Holy Mary something something Catholic Church in New York City, having been out and celebrating quite a bit. So there she was, and it wasn't the offering time, this is why I'm telling this story now, but it was during the time when the bishop who happened to be there had gone up and down the aisle with the censer. You know, and this beautiful scent billowing out of it. And he happened to stop right next to her, and she was sitting there where Rick is sitting. And with the having done this, and she leans out and she says, "The shoes are perfect and your hat is divine, but darling, your purse is on fire." So we don't have anything on fire coming down the aisle now, but it is an opportunity to open your hearts and give a greeting of any kind to our wonderful people who are coming to receive this morning's offering. Your generous gifts in service, in helping this congregation continue to have a voice here in the community and to serve the community. I watched the film, The Story of the Weeping Camel, a few nights ago, and it made me think there's a part of the story is a camel being born, and this is calving season. It's fall season. As Donna mentioned, I volunteer in our neonatal ICU in the Mid-Atlantic Equine Medical Center and have had the wonderful experience of being there when a foal is born. And this is a poem I'd like to read by Michael Dennis Brown called Lamb. Saw a lamb being born. Saw the shepherd chase and grab a big ewe and dump her on her side. Saw him rub some stuff from a bottle on his hands. Saw him bend and reach in. Heard two cries from the ewe, two sharp, quick cries like high grunts. Saw him pull out a slack white package. Saw him lay it on the ground. Saw him kneel and take his teeth to the cord. Saw him slap the package around. Saw it not move. Saw him bend and put his mouth to it and blow, doing this calmly, half kneeling. Saw him slap it around some more. Saw my mother watching this. Saw Angela. Saw Peter. Saw Mimi with a baby in her belly. Saw them standing in a row by the dry stone wall in the wind. Saw the package move. Saw it was stained with red and yellow. Saw the shepherd wipe red hands on the ewe's wool. heard the other sheep in the meadow calling out, saw the package shaking its head, saw it try to stand, saw it nearly succeed, saw it have to sit and think about it a bit, saw a new creature's first moments of thinking, felt the chill blowing through me, heard the shepherd say, "Good day for lambing, wind dries them out." Saw the package start to stand, get halfway, kneeling, saw it push upward, stagger, push, and make it, stand, standing. Saw it surely was a lamb, a lamb, a lamb. Saw a lamb being born. The second reading is from the poet Antonio, and I would have loved to have had Meredith come here. Meredith is my niece, by the way, and her brother Christopher is here, and my brother-in-law Jeff. And Meredith knows Spanish, so I could have had the original Spanish here, but this is a translation of Antonio Machado's poem by Robert Bly. I love Jesus, who said to us, "Heaven and earth will pass away. When heaven and earth have passed away, my word will remain." What was your word, Jesus? Love, forgiveness, compassion. All your words were one word. Wake up. It's now time for our anthem. Once upon a time, it was yesterday. It was the beginning of time, or the beginning of breath, the beginning of life. Time moves like a spiral. Once upon a time, we greeted the sun. Every morning, we turned to the east and received our blessing. We gave thanks for life. It was a time when life nourished life that nourished life. All beings breathed together, plant and animal. Within the wild exuberance of existence, there was an order and beauty. Remember? Remember when we trusted that the ground would hold us? When we would crawl, hugging the earth in every movement of our brave new dance? We knew where we were. Usual, rare, extraordinary people who knew the paths of revolutionary love and nonviolence. Eagerly into the web of life, the circle of creation that was all related by the fact that it existed. Sharing water and fire, earth and air, sunlight and darkness. It was an enormous field, the realm of life, where creation played at creating and celebrating. The world was energy open to greet new life wherever it appeared. One man spoke of relativity in describing this world. This was not a force pushing things together, but a field, he said, a curved field in the continuum of space and time, he said, a field created by the very presence of created things. Relativity meant intensity, movement, relationship, interaction of spirit and matter. It mattered. Life had meaning. We had a purpose, remember? But then there was also a time when people would say, well, it's all relative, you know. This meant that it really didn't matter. It's all relative became an excuse for separation and injustice. It meant that the rules for some were different from the rules for others. It's all relative meant that it was not relative at all, but that relationships of some beings to other beings could be called inconvenient, impractical, and disposable. It's all relative meant that caring and compassion could be overpowered by the demands of the human ego, and the search for wisdom could become the search for control. It was a time when the voices of the soul were muffled by the voices that gave orders. Orders to work, orders to shoot, to move off the land, to be silent. We lost our balance. Remember? It was a time when we forgot where we came from. We forgot about the gift of life and the great mystery and chaos from which evolved such amazing beauty and passion. We forgot our joy. We forgot how to love and trust each other. We forgot how to speak about justice. We judged. We forgot to listen. We put up walls of fear between neighbors, between nations, between people of different religions, lifestyles, gender, color, ages, and abilities. There was war, poverty, hunger, cruelty, and greed. We gave our power to people and things that kept taking us away from our divine center, the soul, the flask of renewing life. The world, our families, our villages, fell apart. We lost our way, remember? We wandered in the wilderness and we wept. Our holy city had become a place of emptiness and sorrow. La Via Dolorosa, the way of grief and pain, for each one of us, a different burden, for each one of us, more than we could bear. Feeling forsaken, not able to move on. We had lost our spirit, remember? We found ourselves in an airless tomb, darkened, held shut by a huge stone. We slept. Time passed. Reaching in the darkness, we tried to gather our lives back together. But we had very little hope, remember? Remember those voices from the other side urging us to come back? We leaned heavily on that stone and went back to sleep. Again, the voices called to us. Gradually, there appeared a thread of light around the stone. We cried out in fear. Why do we have to go back among those people? But slowly, we recognized they were not all Judas and Pilate, money changers, tax collectors, religious zealots, and hypocrites. They were teachers, friends, frightened ones, lonely ones, brave ones, beloved ones. We studied that light of possibility around the stone. We longed for new life. Remember? Remember the day we heard the birds singing outside? Their sound was so beautiful. We almost wanted to join them, but we were afraid we had nothing to sing about. We had forgotten our stories, our music, our poetry. We had lost our place, remember? Remember that morning we finally rose up? How we went toward that stone which we knew so well, and we gathered our strength and we pushed and pushed till at last that stone rolled away. We went into the garden, breathing in the sweetness of the untouched air. We welcomed the dawn. With that breath, our spirits returned. We knew where we were. Remember? This was our Jerusalem, our holy place, our earth, our home. In the light of the east, we received our blessing. On that day, we lifted ourselves up toward new possibilities, toward a greater humanity. We knew who we were. On that day, we arose to a new life. We can rise again. The Spirit returns. Remember? The thought occurred to me not long ago, at one point when I thought, what has happened to the human spirit, and where have we been? And what occurred to me, I had recently been listening to Beethoven's Ninth Symphony in the car with my daughter, both of us singing at the top of our lungs. And what I thought of was, there was a moment in human history, there is that moment that lasts, when a choir, for the very first time, was handed the music to the fourth movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. And I have thought about them seeing this for the first time and creating the sound and hearing it all at once. And I just want to send that around again, knowing that that's part of our history, a moment like that. So we are not going to recreate it exactly, but we are going to sing. In our hymn book, there are two settings of Beethoven's music. One is joyful, joyful, those words. We sing that one quite often. This is the closest translation of Schiller's verse to which Beethoven created he wrote the music around it. He had been carrying this poem around for decades and finally got the two together. Now, the special instruction, on top of singing it in your most joyful voices, the choir is going to come up. Our hymn book has two verses in English and two verses in German. We are all going to sing verse one in English. The choir will sing the italic, the German verse, which is also called verse one. And then we will all sing verse two. So we should end up at the end of verse two in English if we all get it. So please stand and join in singing this hymn. be seated, and you may be wondering what Earth Communion is. So I will tell you briefly. Our children have found their way back, which is so wonderful. Mindful of all the blessings that we receive from all of the life that is around us, that recreates all of the life that is within us. Mindful of how fortunate we are to share this earth, how lucky we are to keep the lives that we have at this moment, at this time. How fortunate we are that of all the impossibilities of whatever happened billions and billions of years ago, that the right amount of gravity and the right amount of this gas and that gas, and it all congealed and it all came together to create life, that we are part of that right now. And so in gratitude for this amazing earth that holds us on her back and sustains us and helps to grow food and has oceans and forests that keep us in life, knowing that we are the soil that holds the seed, knowing we are the soil and we are the seed. We are going to, in a moment when we go out from here, there are little peat cups full of very moist, rich soil. And you are invited to go outside to take a cup of this earth and find your way to a place that you would like to pour this back into the ground. I understand that there's a circle out there where there is a tree that has been dedicated. I didn't notice whether there is snow on the way to that tree, but you might want to just add it to the circle from the outside if it's very, very wet, or any place along the path. This is just a bit of a ritual moment where you can have a conversation with what you are putting in, where it is going. And we also remember that on this day, and as new life is coming back, that in the months before we have had many tears of grief and of joy, and this is a time as we're putting the earth, the soil back, to remember and to hope that all those tears will find their way back to the rivers and oceans eventually, and that more life will come from that. So this is our moment to conspire with the gods to help life jump up and live again. May we go out from here in peace, and may we remember all the blessings of the life that is within us and around us, and may we always be grateful, helpful, joyful, and bold. We will extinguish our chalice now. It has been an extraordinary gift for me to have been able to share this time with you, to be able to join the choir. Thank you very much, Marshall. And to hear the wonderful music and to see many of your faces again. And I wish you all new life in whatever places it's ready to leap forth again. So this is going to be kind of slightly choreographed chaos. I'm going to head to the back and open the doors, and we'll let people grab these cups and take them out. And then you're invited to come back in and have coffee. So blessings on you all. Thank you.